people and say, why I? How many of you have ever asked the question, why you believe something? Anybody ever do that? Nobody. Nobody ever asked why? Nobody? Jesus bless them. Let's go home. It's beautiful. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, on a serious note, you should ask the question why you believe things. There are things that we believe that we are either taught or experienced or exposed to, and we should ask the question every once in a while why we believe certain things that we do. So we've been in this series, I've been talking about why I believe certain things. So going back 3 weeks ago, we talked about why I believe in the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me, basic instructions before leaving earth. There's all kinds of these cliches, but you get the idea. The Bible. We believe the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. The next week we talked about why I believe in the what? Local church. Church. I love the church, man. The local church. We feed people in the Dominican. If you don't know, we sponsor an orphanage in Haiti. We do all kinds of things because the local church is where it happens, man. This is where church is real. All right? The local church. And last week we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. Person of the Holy Spirit. And like I promised you last week, we're going to continue on the path of the Holy Spirit. This week, we're not going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life. How many of you need more power? Amen. Come on, if you're a dude, you know what I'm talking about. Come on. Mama got a new Hemi, and it's all good at our house. Yeah, it is. More power. I'm already trying to figure out how we can upgrade that baby. But nevertheless, hey, the truth of the matter is more power. Everybody wants more power. I want more power in my life. You should want more power in your life because it is the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms your life. Now, with that being said, let me just go into this direction for a minute. In light of what I'm about to teach you this morning, I'm going to tell you that there are three different types of people in here this morning when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Three different types. Let's go with first group. First group of people, I will speak to you. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You believe in the Holy Spirit. You believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You believe that the Holy Spirit is real. You know He lives on the inside of you. You got all that going on. And everything I tell you this morning, you're going to be yes and amen in me, all right? And hopefully it will either A, refresh you in the things of the Holy Spirit, or B, maybe show something that maybe you never picked up in the past. So that's group one. Group two, you're the neutral people. You're neutral. Maybe you just got saved last week, or maybe you come from a church background where you're just kind of neutral. You don't really know too much about the Holy Spirit. You may or may not have been here last week and learned a little bit about the person of the Holy Spirit, but you're not anti-Holy Spirit. You're just kind of whatever, you know, whatever. And to those people, I'm coming after you this morning, all right? Coming after you. And then there's a whole nother group of people, all right? That whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, you remember back in college, you had had one too many organic beverages at about 2 o'clock in the morning. You saw some crazy TV evangelist on TV. He was speaking in tongues and talking about, send me your last $500 and I'll guarantee you a gold Mercedes or something. I don't know. And he said it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to him about that. And because of that, you were like, no, thank you. You know what I mean? No, thank you. And you turned him off. Or maybe you came from a church background where they told you that the power of the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues or anything in reference to any of that world is just kind of weird and spooky, like folks just got off the mothership, you know. I mean, they're making the Vulcan sign and Spock shows up and beam me up, Scotty. And you're just not into that form of Christianity. And I will tell you, if you come from that background, I'm coming after you today. Because that's flat out weird, and I would agree. But do not confuse the Holy Spirit with people being weird. I said it last week and I'm going to say it again. Some people are weird now before they got Jesus. Then people get Jesus, and it isn't like weirdness goes away. They're still weird. They just added Jesus to the mix. Yeah, and they're still weird. And they got the Holy Spirit. And they do weird stuff, and then they blame the Holy Spirit for their weirdness. No, honey, that's just weird. It's not the Holy Spirit. And I think oftentimes the enemy does a great job of planting the seed that the Holy Spirit is weird, and that anytime we talk about the Holy Spirit and his power in our lives, it's got to be weird and spooky. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not this place. That's not this church. That's not me as your pastor. I would say I'm weird, but I'm not weird because the Holy Spirit's weird, all right? He's cool, man. He's awesome. He lives in us, right? Where's the Holy Spirit? In you. If you've been born again this morning, he lives on the inside of you. So he's not weird. No, he's not weird. And he doesn't make you weird. He allows you to grow in the things of God so you can worship God. Amen? All right, so with that being said, let's lay down the foundation scripturally wise for the reason of this thing called the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, before I go there, let me just explain. When you got saved, who came to live inside your heart? We say Jesus, but really it's the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that was in Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Everybody say, Jesus lives in me by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit that's in you. The Holy Spirit that's in you. Jesus is in heaven, y'all. Amen? Jesus is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit's in you. And he is your high speed, not your dial-up. He is faster than dial-up. He's faster than fiber optic cable. He's right there on the inside of you, so you ain't got to worry about him being very far. Amen? And the Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's where he's at. But listen, you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but there is a greater measure of the Holy Spirit that can live inside of you and should be upon you. Now get this. You get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. He's in you. Jesus says it two ways, though. He says he will be in you, but then he'll be upon you. Upon you. What we're talking about this week is him being upon you. Last week we were talking about him being in you. Everybody say, he's in me. He's in you. He's in you. Well, I just don't like that Holy Spirit stuff. Are you saved? Yep, he's in you. I just don't like tongues. You like the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, I love the Holy Spirit. Well, guess where the tongues are? It's in you. He's in you. He is in you. And he brought all that he is inside of you. He's there. You have such a vast resource that you are not tapping into. I would dare say that no one taps into it completely and openly all the time. Amen. Now, why are we here today? So we can learn how to tap into the Holy Spirit and his power more each and every day of our life. Amen. All right, so here we go. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Check this out. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And I indeed baptize you with agua, water, unto, did y'all notice I was bilingual right there? Right there. Did you notice that? Agua, I know that one. Agua and Banos, I know that one too. Those two go together. But anyway, how many of you know what Banos is? Banos, B-A-N-O, with a weird sign above it. That means bathroom. If I got those two things, I'll be all right. All right, here we go. I indeed baptize with water under repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the what? Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, let me tell you something about this. I don't know about your world or your house, but let me just assure you of this. If we tell our kids something one time, it's probably important, right? If we tell our kids something twice, you better take heed. At four times, the beatings commence right after that. All right? Beatings commence. That's the way it is. After four times of you not getting what we're trying to say, you need a revelation from your gluteus maximus to your cerebral cortex. Can I get a witness from any parents in the house? Yeah, all right. We need to move that revelation somewhere, all right? And with that being said, what is so powerful about this is there are very few things in your Bible that are mentioned in all four Gospels. Very, very few things, all right? So it's very unique whenever God says something in all four Gospels that is the same exact phrase or phraseology, all right? This term right here, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, is mentioned in every Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every one of them speak of this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's Jesus who does it. Notice this. Whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, where does the Holy Spirit live? In you. Yes, he lives on the inside of you. But watch this. Jesus wants to put him upon you. You say, well, that is so weird. It shouldn't be. Jesus did it. The Bible says that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and had the Holy Spirit from the day he was born. But you know, at his baptism, when he was baptized into water, he came up out of the water, and the Bible says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon him. He had him in him, but then it came upon him at a separate time. You receive the Holy Spirit into you when you get born again, but you receive him upon you when you ask him to fill you with him. When you ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit, upon you. Let me show you an example of this really, really quick here. John chapter 20, let's look at it, verse 19. Then the same day, the evening, being the first week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. Now, everybody look at me. I just want to paint something for you real quick here. On the chronological order of things, Jesus had already died, been resurrected, and now he's walking among them. Okay? So this is after the resurrection. Okay? That's very important to this. When the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled in the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, hello. No, that's how I'd have done it. Jesus, I would have been like, what's up? I mean, wouldn't it be cool though, just to mess with people? Jesus didn't have the same sense of humor that I have. He said, peace be with you. I would have shut up and been like, I told y'all. But anyway, he said, peace be with you. Why? I wonder why he would ever say that. How many dead guys show up in a room that's locked? He's not dead though. He's quite alive. Peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his sides, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Okay, everybody remember the verse we just read? It said Jesus was going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit, right? But you know, he hadn't done this. All right, now watch. He goes throughout his ministry, never does anything with the Holy Spirit. He tells them about the Holy Spirit, but nothing else. He tells them about the Comforter that would come, right? Jesus is now getting ready to ascend. Right before he's ascending, he shows up to him and he says, hey, hello, everybody. And then he gets into that room and here's what he does. Look at verse 21 of John 20. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Y'all see that? Hey, I want you to understand what exactly is happening right now. At this point in time, right before this, a minute before this, these were not born again men. They were not born again. They were people who believed in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is what makes us born again, right? At this point, Jesus breathed on them, much like God breathed on Adam in Genesis, and Adam became a living being. Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, not upon them, inside of them, and they became born again and they became new and alive in God. They're saved. That's how we would translate that now. Jesus doesn't need to breathe on you now. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here, and when you ask Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of your life, the Holy Spirit goes on the inside of you and does the work. Amen? All right, so I want you to see that because I want you to see this. Did they receive all of the Holy Spirit at that point in time? No. How do we know that? Let's look over in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and again, this is chronologically, I'm taking you in order. All right, and being assembled together, this was now after, so Jesus already breathed on them. Now we're going a few days later, Jesus shows up again. They're like, hi, here we go. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Hold up, time out, Pastor Charlie. Didn't they receive the Holy Spirit? They received, watch this, the Holy Spirit in them. But Jesus promised, or I'm sorry, John the Baptist talked about them being baptized in the Holy Spirit, where he comes upon them. Everybody getting that? Now watch this. Check this out. It goes this way. It says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So now we refer to this, I say we being most evangelicals that believe in this experience, we call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's where we got it. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He, Jesus, baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit takes you out of the world and puts you into the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, I believe. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. It's the Spirit who takes you out of the world, puts you into the body of Christ. Watch this now. But it's Jesus who fills you upon you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus does it. Everybody get that? Yes. All right. I'm going somewhere with it. Check this out. Therefore, they came together, asking him, saying, Lord, when will you restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. Watch this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive, come on, everybody say it, power. Come on, you shall receive what? Power. You're going to receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes, not in you. The Bible doesn't say once the Holy Spirit's in you, you got all the power you need. The Bible says that once he comes upon you, you shall have power. Power. Power to do what? Power to witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you don't have power. But I will tell you, it's limited. It's limited. If it wasn't limited, why did Jesus press them to go and get more of the Holy Spirit? Can I get a witness on that? All right? Right? If I tell you, hey, listen, you better stop and get gas in my car if you borrow it. That means it's limited. Right? But as soon as you stop at the gas, you're going to be all right, praise God. Come on, y'all get that? Jesus said the same thing. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you a little bit of gas because I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in you and you're going to be all right for a while. All right? But you really need power. Power in your life. Because you can't change you and you can't change the world around you without my Spirit in you and upon you. Everybody get that? And now we know this. Acts chapter 1 fulfills that. So does everybody see that? Does everybody see he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit? And then we know that Jesus said, now wait though, you didn't get it all. You need to go to Acts chapter 2 now. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, check it out. When the day of Pentecost, now stop right there, everybody. Pastor Charlie, you're making us a Pentecostal church. Let me first and foremost tell you, I don't know why we got that. I know I'm going to tie this together. I'm going to show you where we got the term Pentecost. All right. Pentecost is not tongues. All right. Pentecost, according to the Bible, was a feast of Israel. The children of Israel had seven major feasts. Well, no, they had seven minor, three major. The three major were broken up into seven, okay? Feast of Passover, right? Feast of Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. Those are the three main ones. Most of you are like, I don't really give a rip. I get it. Follow me on this, though. Here's how it happened. Jesus was crucified on Passover. Come on, everybody, say Passover. Passover. You remember the death angel Passover? You know what I mean? Now watch. Passover took place. Jesus was crucified on Passover. He proved himself alive, the Bible says, for 40 days. 40 days. He proved himself alive, the Bible says. Watch this. Right before Jesus is leaving, he says, go and tarry, wait in Jerusalem. They didn't know how long, but they knew Passover had taken place. The children of Israel had done these feasts for hundreds and thousands of years. Pentecost, Passover, all right? 50 days after Passover is what is called another feast, and it's called Pentecost. 10 days. Everybody get it? Jesus, alive for 40, tells him, go and wait in Jerusalem. They waited 10 days. After 10 days, the Holy Spirit fell. On the day, the feast of Pentecost, on that day, feast day, it fell, okay? And that's how we get, watch this. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost? And Pentecost was a feast. You guys know more than a lot of church people. What was Pentecost? Feast. People say, I'm a part of the Pentecostal church, all the feast church. That's really what they're saying. They don't realize a lot of times because they translate it different. And I'll show you what they connect it to. Let me show you, connect the dots. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord. They drove Hondas back then. I don't know why. Bible says there were 120 in that room. I don't know how 120 people get into a Honda Accord, but it did happen according to the Word of God. All right. And then I've done offended all the diehard Chrysler fans. But anyway, all right. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing and mighty wind. It filled the house and they were all sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues of as a fire, and each one set upon them. And they were all filled with the what? Holy Spirit. And what happened? And began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. The Spirit gave the utterance. Here's what happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus did it. Jesus poured out his Spirit. Tongues of fire set on each and every one of them, and they began to overflow with tongues. Now, people have oftentimes asked me, does that mean being filled with the Holy Spirit, do you speak in tongues? I will tell you, my personal answer is yes. When people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues. Let me just first and foremost say this. You do not have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. Right? Right? You don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. You don't have to do any of that. Tongues is about the Holy Spirit coming upon you for power in your life. Now, again, going back to my church background, I was never taught that tongues were good. I was always taught, if you know people that speak in tongues, stay away. They're crazy. All right? Bunch of Pentecostal people. And again, I just want to say, Pentecost is a feast. It's not a doctrine. People made it a doctrine. That's man. That's not God. That's not what God says. All right? The Holy Spirit fell and filled them, and they overflowed on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to overflow in tongues. In your Bible, there are five references to people being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. The experience we're talking about right here, five. Three out of the five, tongues is what happened. Three out of five. You say, what about the other two? The other two are neutral. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't say what happened. But there was obviously a noticeable difference, or something happened. So I would dare argue that even the other two, although they don't say they spoke in tongues, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how did they know that? Well, when you take the other experiences and add it all together, they had to have, I mean, you don't look at somebody and go, okay, now you got it. There had to be something that happened for everyone to know they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I would argue, and this is only my opinion, this isn't the Bible. Like I said, only 3 out of 5 times does tongues appear when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. But let's not deny the other two doesn't say it didn't happen. Everybody get that? Okay, so I would say, personally, that being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the first evidence of being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues for the purpose of power in your life and for that of witnessing to the gospel. All right? Everybody see how I got that so far? I laid a foundation for you. Now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about tongues real quick here. All right? Tongues has, it's a multifaceted gift. The word tongue is simply means language. How many of you speak in tongues right now? Yes. All right? I didn't say, how many, so, like 12 people raise their hand. How many of you speak a language right now? All right, last time I checked, y'all do. I'd really like to hear it at some point, like amen, or send up a flare or whatever. I don't know. But here's the truth. We all speak in a language. Do not allow the word tongues to mess with your head. It simply means language. They spoke in a language. That's all it is. It is a language. The Bible is very clear. There is a heavenly language, and there is an earthly language. The Bible says that. There's a heavenly and there's an earthly. That's what it says. All right? Now, so what are the manifestations, or how does tongues operate? How should it operate? I'm going to give it to you. You ready? Here we go. Number one, let me give you this one. And if you're taking notes, write this one down. Number one way that tongues manifest is to communicate in a foreign language. And people have had this over the years. There's thousands of testimonies out there about someone being in a foreign land. They can't communicate to someone, so they start speaking in tongues, not really knowing it. The Spirit of God just moves on them. They start speaking in a tongue they don't know, and it turns out to be the native tongue of the person they're talking to. The native tongue of the person they're talking to. I will tell you this. My experience is this is the least likely manifestation of the gift of tongues in your life. It's the least likely. Why? Most of us speak English or some form of it. Right? Ebonics, whatever. You know? We talk Southern accent, swamp people, need a translator, but it's still English, praise God, right? Right? All right? So listen to this. I'll give you an example of this. On the day of Pentecost, when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, it says that Acts 2:5, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when a sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were all confused. And because everyone heard them speak in their own what? Language. In other words, there were people from every tribe and tongue in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they left that upper room, 120 of them. They came down and they were all speaking in tongues. And there were other people standing around. It was the feast of Pentecost. There were people from all over. And as people heard them, they're like, that person's speaking in tongues, but another language, but that's my language. They're talking in my language. I've heard of people being on the mission field and preaching somewhere, and they'll pray in tongues. While they're praying in tongues, they don't realize that they're speaking the language of the people he's preaching through an interpreter. How many of you say this? God is awesome. He is. Now, how many of you believe the Holy Spirit knows every language on this planet? He does. He does. He does. He does. So there's the first manifestation, the first sign of it. Let me, and like I said, it's probably the least likely. Let me give you the next one in this order. Public church service. This is the second operation of the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues operates within a church service this way. Someone will have a word in tongues, they'll give it, and then someone will interpret that tongue and give that tongue out. All right? So it may sound like this. I'm speaking in tongues right now, but I'm not giving a tongue to the church. All right? And then someone will say, well, thus says the Lord, you know, I want to bless you, keep you, whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever the Lord might want to say to his people. That's how it works in a corporate servant. The Bible tells us that when a tongue is given in church, it must accompany, tied to, linked to what? Interpretation. It must be linked to an interpretation, all right? So now, just so we got that, and we also know this. Let's just keep on going. Public service. Let's look at a couple verses to support what we're saying here. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Who is this? This is the Apostle Paul. He is saying, I speak in tongues. The dude who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament spoke in tongues. Well, Pastor Charlie, I believe that passed away with the apostles. They all died. Okay, first of all, let me just kind of argue back and say this. Number one, why are there 3 to 4 chapters only? The only thing that those chapters deal with is how those gifts should operate within the local church. That's number one. Why did God put it in there if they were going to die out? Second of all, let me show you something else. We'll come back here to 1 Corinthians 14, 18, but let me just show you this verse. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 39. For the promise, who is the promise? Oh, I got about 3. Who is the promise? Oh, one more time. Who is the promise? All right, so we could really easily, for clarification purpose, Charlie Riley Amplified, for the promise, the Holy Spirit, is to you, your children, in all that are afar off, as far, I'm doing it not because I'm retarded, but I shouldn't say that word, I'm sorry. Not because I'm slow, I'm saying it because I want you to hear it. As far as, look at it, as many as the Lord God will call. Is the Lord still calling people? So we know the promise of the Holy Spirit is not the apostles' gift. They died. Yep, their gifting died. But the person of the Holy Spirit continues. And he lives in us. And if we ask the Lord, he will fill us or baptize us with that Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and will manifest tongues in one of 3 ways. Foreign language, corporate gift, personal. But let me just go there for a second. The promise is to you, your children, and all that are afar off. I know Toph and I were talking this week about the message and laying it out. And he was taught as a young man that those gifts passed away. And I'll give you another verse that they used to justify it. When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall pass away. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe it is. Midway down that chapter. And it's talking about that which is perfect. Well, they say that which is perfect is the Bible, okay? How could the Bible be that which is perfect has come when the Bible at that point in time is being written? When the Bible is speaking of a future tense, not a present. When that which is perfect, what's he talking about? Heaven, the reality of where we go after this place. Or how about this, the return of Christ where he sets up his millennial kingdom in the earth. That's when it's going to be perfect. When the weapons will be made into plowshares, the Bible says, and we'll all become farmers. Just kidding. I don't know what doctors and nurses are going to do. They need to pray for an occupation in heaven. But nevertheless, here we go. I'm just teasing, kind of. Look at this now. Now back to this. So for those of you that think that these gifts don't apply today, I'm sorry, but that doesn't hold water in the Word of God, in my opinion, all right? Let's look at it again. So I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather you say 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in tongues. How many of you are blessed when I come up here? Hey, welcome to Abundant Life Church. Can somebody say amen to that? How many of you know that's crazy? That's that spooky church. Crazy, crazy, crazy. How many of you know the Bible is teaching us very clearly that it's better for me to stand up here with intelligible words and show you how the Word of God works, show you how to apply it to your life, and show you how to live it out, praise God. That's better for us when we're corporately gathered, all right? But let's not say that this is bad. Tongues isn't bad. We're just saying that it has boundaries, right? All right, look at this. With understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in tongues. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, and in understanding be what? Be mature. Be mature. There was this story a buddy of mine told me, and this is a true story. Audrey knows about it. True story. These two pastors get filled with the Holy Spirit. And they love God, man. They love God. And they hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they feel the power of God in their life. So one guy says to this other, he goes, man, I feel the power of the Spirit of God. They pray in tongues. So just getting it, man. And one pastor gets a whole bunch of nerve up, and he says, you know what? I know where there's a dog that has a demon in it. Let's go cast that demon out of that dog. And it is possible for animals to be possessed, believe it or not, and it's usually chihuahuas. But anyway, I'm just kidding. If you got chihuahuas, I'm sorry. No, on a serious note, demons went into pigs in the Bible, you know, so demons can manifest inside animals. But the chihuahua was a joke. But here's the deal. These two pastors said, I know that this one pastor says to this other one, he says, I know where there's this dog that has a demon in it. We're going to go over there and cast that demon out. Guy's like, let's go. They get in the car. They go over to their buddy's house. The buddy's not there. He's like, that's all right. We know him. He hops the fence, this pastor does. Hops the fence, gets over there. Here comes this dog. He goes, in the name of Jesus, and starts speaking in tongues, pointing his finger at this dog and commanding the devil to come out of that dog. That dog jumped on him. I jumped on him, started ripping him up, mauling him. Guy runs, finally gets to the fence, hops over the fence. Guy's like, what the just happened? They hop in the car. The guy's like, man, what was that? He goes, I don't know, but I come to the conclusion of this. The guy's like, what? He goes, I don't think that dog has a demon. He said, you don't think so? He goes, no, I think it's just a mean dog. In malice be babes, but in understanding, there's a key word, in understanding be what? Mature. So my point is, don't be trying to speak in tongues at your dog and cast a demon out. That's being immature. That's not understanding the application. That's not understanding how it's supposed to work. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we've got tongues for interpreting other language. We have tongues for corporate use. So let me say this. If it's done within the church, if it's done in our corporate setting, it must accompany a interpretation. Now, let me say this. Does that mean we can't pray in tongues in church? No. We can pray in tongues in church. Let me tell you, there's been so much abuse of this, I don't even know where to start. But I'm going to start right here. You ready? The Holy Spirit has been given to us to magnify who? Jesus. Specifically Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus said this. He said, he, when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit comes, he will magnify me. He will bring all things that I say to you back to your mind. He will tell you of me. He will testify of me. Everybody get that? The Holy Spirit is there to magnify Jesus, right? Here's my deal. When you give a tongue interpretation, you dance, you sing, you do whatever, and the attention moves away from Jesus onto a person, how many of you know now we're moving outside of the realm of what the Holy Spirit does? Right? With my messages, I try and be careful of that. I use funny stories in my messages, and I tell you about myself and use personal stories. For one, because if I use people that are here or go here, they're offended. Second of all, though, I can talk about me and no one's offended. But here's the more important deal. I have to be very careful, though, that you're not focusing on me, that I'm bringing glory and attention to what Jesus has done, not to what Charlie has done. Everybody get that? I want you to focus on the power of God. I want you to see what God can do, not what Charlie can do. Because what I can do is irrelevant. And a matter of fact, the only thing I can do is what he allows me to do anyway. Did y'all get that? So when someone is giving a tongue, prophesying, whatever, and we've had people in our church in the past that will come and speak in tongues real loud and try and draw a bunch of attention to themselves. And then I say, ma'am, you're out of order. You need to sit down. Then they're offended. And part of that is they're just immature. They don't understand that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to magnify Jesus, not you. So as long as you're here, know this. These gifts operate within our church. They operate within me. But they're never here to bring attention to the person. They're here to bring attention to the Savior. Yes. Right? So today during worship, I was over here praying in tongues. And you didn't even know. Right? You didn't even know. I didn't cause a distraction. Can you come to church and pray in tongues? Yes. Should you? Yes. Here's what I know about you. If you can't do it here, you won't do it at home. This is the most freeing atmosphere for the gifts or anything of the Holy Spirit to operate. This is the place. So when you come, it's all right for you to pray in tongues in your seat. It's okay to you pray. Now, let's keep on reading and look at how this works, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. Did we cover all that? Yeah, we did. All right, now look at 14:13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may what? Interpret. Everybody say interpret. All right? Now, here's what that means. For you to interpret, what must you first do? Did y'all see that? You can't, Lord, interpret nothing. No, the Lord doesn't interpret nothing. You've got to pray in tongues for you to pray for an interpretation of that tongue. Right? Right? All right. Look at this now. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm speaking in tongues right there. Do I know what I'm saying? No. Ain't got a clue. Is that what the Bible teaches, though? For when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, that seems silly. Watch it. What is it, the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. All right? Over here. Lord, give me the words to speak to your people today. Help me break through walls. Help me minister to them, Lord. Lord, watch over us, Lord. God, you're awesome. We love you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm going to pray in tongues, and I'm going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to combine them both. I'm going to use both of them. Both of them are resources that God has given me to use. And guess who else he's given those things to? You also. You also. It isn't like he just wants one person filled with the Holy Spirit. See, get this. The corporate gift of tongues, where someone gives a tongue and interprets it, not everybody has that gift, right? But let me ask you this. Matter of fact, let's just read on, and I'll show you what I'm trying to say here. He says, what is the conclusion? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray it with my spirit, and I will pray in my understanding. And then he goes on to say, and I will also sing with my understanding, and I will also sing in the Spirit. And I'll spare you. I won't go any further because I'm not that good. I will sing in the Spirit and I will sing in my understanding. Sing in the Spirit, sing in my understanding. I will pray in tongues. I will pray in my known language. I'm going to do both. I'm going to do all four of those things. Do all four of those. I'm not going to do it and draw attention to myself. Right? I'm going to let God do it. Amen? Yeah. Let me show you one more thing here. Look at right here. So that's the corporate gift. Look at this. Here's the last one. I pray in tongues for spiritual edification. Spiritual edification. Build me up. Let me show you this right here. Let me show you this one. And this is the one that everybody can have. See, get this. Not everybody is going to give a tongue and an interpretation in a church setting. Not everyone in here is going to experience a foreign language. Not everybody's going to have that. But here's the one that everybody can have. And let me show you it to you real quick here. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to... Come on, help me out. I feel like I'm losing some of y'all. Come on, we'll be done in just a second. Here we go. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to... Let me ask you a question. Does God want everyone to speak to him? Then why would God not want you to speak to him in tongues? God wants everybody filled with his spirit. Everybody. So they can pray to him in tongues with the Holy Spirit. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks for the edification, exhortation, and comfort of men. Watch this. He who speaks in a tongue does what? Edifies who? Himself. Pastor Charlie, why do you pray in tongues? To edify me. To edify, to build me up. Some days I don't feel great. Some days I don't feel like I'm clicking on all cylinders. How do I get there? I start praying in tongues. And then very, very shortly, I find that I'm clicking on all cylinders, rolling down the road, man, because the Holy Spirit's moving in me. Amen? Amen? Let's look at one more verse, and I'll shut up and share you a little bit of testimony here. But you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God would want you to be built up in your faith? Yes. Then why would he not want you to pray in the Holy Spirit? He does want you to pray in the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you this. My church background, obviously, I thought people that spoke in tongues were weird or crazy, that their eyes rolled back in their head and they just arrived off the mothership. All right? So I give my heart to Christ. We're down in Florida. A buddy of mine invites me to his church through the idea that I asked him, why doesn't God do big things anymore? Why didn't God do miracles? Why don't people speak in tongues no more? Why don't all these things happen? And he said, they happen in my church. I'm like, they do? I'm like, dude, I'm going there. So I went to church with him. I didn't hear anybody speaking in tongues or anything like that. They prayed for people to be healed and all that stuff. Come out of church, and I asked my buddy Dex, I said, Dex, why, a great dude, great man, great teacher of the Word of God. I asked him, I said, hey, listen, you know, I want more of God. I just want all that God has for me. And he says, all right, then you need to ask the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay, listen, I'm not into the Holy Spirit thing. I just want more of God. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? And he said, okay, let me explain, Charlie. The Holy Spirit is how you receive more of God. And he told me just what I told you. You get saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he comes upon you, and then you have more of the Holy Spirit, and he's there, and you can't exhaust the resources that he has upon you. I'm like, oh, wow. He goes, but the first sign of that is speaking in tongues. I said, time out, I ain't into the tongues thing. I done told you that. He goes, no, you're going to have to get over that. I said, all right. So he gave me some books to read. I started reading through these books, and sure enough, they lined up with the Word of God, and I figured out, okay, tongues is of God, it hasn't passed away, and I need it. Why? Because I want more of God. You guys get where I'm coming from? So here's what happened. My buddy Dex, he said, you need to pray that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Spirit. I said, all right, now listen, up to this point in my life, I had never heard anybody pray in tongues. Never, never. I hadn't even been around it. I was anti-it. I could say it that way. So nevertheless, Michelle worked afternoons at Gafer's department store. It was a department store there in town. And she would go to work, and I would read the Bible, and then I'd say, okay, Lord, fill me. And I kid you not, we still have the recliner at my house upstairs because I refuse to throw it away because it reminds me of my spiritual walk. Here's the deal. I would sit in my recliner for about 2 weeks straight. I'd read these books, and I'm like, okay, Lord, fill me with your spirit. All right. Kid you not. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'm not in a trance or something. I mean, I was spookifying it, man. I was just, and this goes on for a couple weeks. And I'm like, Dex, I'm just not getting it. He goes, you just need to keep asking the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, every night, right? I was so frustrated. I'm like, well, and part of me was like, well, I guess it's just not for me. But I'm like, no, that can't be right. Why would God give it to everybody else except me? I'm his favorite, and I know that, so what's up? You know? I'm like, come on, man. You know, so I'm frustrated. I found this little bitty book, and it said how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I need to buy that. I bought it. I read through it. And at the end of the book, it gave a practical step on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's what it said. It said, go into a place, close the door. When you're there, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit and give your voice box voice. Move your tongue, and as you move your tongue and give it voice, the Holy Spirit will allow tongues to flow through you. And then in the book, it gave you things that you would fight. You're going to fight your head. Your head has never done it before, so your head's going to tell you you're crazy. All right? It's new. So you got to override that. Number two, whenever you stop doing it and you let it go for a few hours, the enemy is going to come and tell you what you received was fake and it didn't work. So you have to keep it up each and every day until you get your mind to check out and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you freely. And the book made sense. I went in there, kid you not, I shut the door. Now I'm home by myself. I go to our bedroom. I don't know why. I guess I didn't want to make a fool in our living room. You know, I go into the bedroom, I kneel down, which I don't normally do that. I knelt down and I said, okay, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm going to add voice and give it power, but you got to fill the words. And so I had heard people talk, Dex, my buddy, he had said, when you receive it, you may or may not feel anything. You may only receive a syllable. So in my mind, I'm expecting a syllable. So I'm like, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Ora, ora, and it started flowing like a river. I'm like, ooh, yeah, I got this, man. This is easy. And it just began to flow. I think because it's easier for those that don't only have half of our brain to check out anyway. It's easier for the Holy Spirit to take over. So anyway, the Holy Spirit, I mean, it just started flowing. It was its own language. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. So the next day I get up and I go into work. I walk up to Dex, and you got it. Dex was my best buddy. Our staff has actually been to his house and had dinner there. He's a black dude, and he is the most laid back black dude you could ever meet. Just absolutely awesome, awesome dude. And I go, Dex, check this out. He's like, what? I said, dude, check this out. You'd have to know him. He goes, uh-huh. And now, just as irritates me, because I'm like, dude, you should be fired up right now. I said, no, listen. He's like, uh-huh, yeah. I said, dude, is that tongues? He goes, I don't know. I'm like, you speak in tongues? He's like, well, yeah. I said, do you identify this? I mean, is this tongues? Now, remember, I had never heard anybody speak in tongues. I got filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues with never hearing anybody do it, all right? So I'm still like, y'all, come on, anybody know what I'm saying? So I go to Dex. I'm like, I walk away. I'm like, forget him. You remember, I've just saved. I mean, I'm still cussing folks out and stuff, you know what I'm saying? All right? So I walk away. I'm like, forget him. I ain't talking to him. Forget him. I go home that night. Open up the Bible. I start researching it. I took 3 days, ate it up. At the end of about 3 days, I don't know if exactly 3 days, but 3 or 4 days, I didn't talk to him because forget him. I ain't talking to him. About 3 days later, I come back to him. I'm like, hey, Dex, I don't care what you say. I got tongues, man. I don't even care what you say. He says this. He goes, well, I know that. Like, dude, what's up with that? How you do me that way? I said, you know I got tongues? He goes, well, yeah, but here's the deal. If I would have said, yes, you had tongues, I could have talked you into it. And if I can talk you into it, I can talk you out of it. And it's not based on the word of God in your faith. It's based on what I said. I said, that's so stinking good, but so wrong. So irritated with him. He goes, I just wanted to make sure you had a foundation of what it was about. And I'm like, man, that's good, Dex. You're right. You're right. You're right. So I'm like, I got it. I got it. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. Last week I referenced it, and I want to bring it back to you this week. I had an awful tongue issue. Cussed like crazy. Could never, ever control it. Out of control. It wasn't until I got filled with the Holy Spirit that the Lord took control of my tongue. And it was like cussing dropped off the face of the planet. I mean, it dropped. It was the Holy Spirit that did the work. When God filled me with the Holy Spirit and tongues started flowing out of me, there was something that broke in my life. Now, listen, my issue was cussing. Yours may be different, okay? But I believe that we receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And God knows we need more power, all right? Now, here's my point in this. Here's my point in this, all right? God broke that thing off. I didn't have to do it. To this day, and I'm not saying this again to bring attention to myself, but I want you to hear this. My kids, probably Michael sitting back there, he's 16 years old. And you know how that is with cussing. My son has made me heard me say a bad word maybe one time. Maybe once. I mean, I don't know. Mike, you're back there. One time maybe? You can be honest. I ain't going to beat you. One time, seriously? I can think of one time I remember saying something I shouldn't have said in front of him. All right? But my point is, I mean, ever since I got Spirit-filled, God broke that off of me. Okay? Broke that off of me. And to now, it's not even a desire. I don't even talk that way. And I'm sure whenever I did it, I won't remember. He would remember when I did it. But honestly, less than a few times since I've been Spirit-filled that I've said a word that was inappropriate. And now I say crazy stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about cuss words. All right. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit broke that off of me. The Holy Spirit did the work. Okay. You receive power when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to conclude with this. Here's what we're going to do the rest of the service here. All right? We're going to take up our tithe and our offering and all that stuff. But let me explain what we're going to do. There are three groups of people here. Those of you that have been amen in everything I say and understand what I'm talking about and have experienced it. Great. Hopefully I encouraged you to keep praying in the Spirit. All right? That's number one. Those of you that are neutral. If you're still neutral, you just don't know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm okay with that. Please, I'm okay with that. I've got, sitting out there on the kiosk, they've made them for me, 10-page little lesson I made for you, all right, on the gift of tongues. It's actually not made by me. It was someone else made it, but it's an awesome little lesson on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Take it, 10 pages, read through it. And if you're still neutral and you have questions, email me, PastorTof@gmail.com. No, you guys were there though. You were there. Hey, no, it's real simple. PastorCharlesRiley@gmail.com. Email me and I'll do my very best. Because obviously in 50 minutes, I can't cover every question that you might have. I get it. If you're still neutral, I get it. It's okay. This is not a heaven hell issue. You're not going to hell if you don't speak in tongues, y'all. You're not going to heaven if you do speak in tongues. You're going to heaven because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Amen? All right. Now, those of you that are anti, I would beg of you to take this home. Allow the Word of God to speak to your heart and see if God doesn't transform your heart. Now, if you're still anti after that, still keep coming to church. I promise you, in this house, we will never abuse these gifts. There's always crazy people everywhere you go. But I promise you, to the best of my ability and my staff, we will keep this place safe so you won't be hurt or see these abused. All right? This is a safe place for these gifts to operate. Amen? We want to make sure people are built up and not turned off by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.